Thanks again for leading Asterisk Roadshow. And also thanks Pastor Song to getting us to show you the CRU video. It's sad to see that after 10 years, there's still something like that. In fact, there's intelligence in the past, and that may be something kind of today. It's either working in any way, there's a strength, some kind of the way you pray for that. The warfare seems never ending. In our life, it's the same. We also face warfare all the time. How to deal with that? So today, I'd like to share the passage from Exodus 17 to 8, sadly 8 to 16, to gain some insight how God can help us facing the warfare in our lives. So, I ask you to read that together from 17, chapter 17, 8 to 16. Let's go. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to divide this passage to gain some insight. How do we face warfare in our personal life? So let me bow our heads and pray. Let us bow our heads and pray once more. Dear Lord, help us, and may your Holy Spirit speak to us in facing warfare in our lives, daily warfare, or maybe big attacks. How do we deal with you? Deal with them with your help. May your Spirit speak to our hearts. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Grade is 17-8. May I ask the sister to read it once more? The sister, please. So here you can see this is actually the first battle facing the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. They actually did not see any battle until this point. In the past, God had been fighting the battle with them, for them, maybe facing the soldiers of Pharaoh. But this time when they come to the wilderness, they are facing the first real battle. They have to fight this time. who are the Amalekites? Do you have any idea? Who are the Amalekites? Actually, they're descendants of Esau. Who is Esau? Esau was the brother of Jacob. And Esau, if you remember, he sold his right, firstborn right, to his brother Jacob. He's a very fleshy man. And later on, he would like to kill his brother. That did not succeed. To the end, that did not happen. But after since then, the Amalekites, who are the descendants of Esau, will try to eliminate the descendants of Jacob. This is the Israelites. In a way, the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites, are what we call chosen people. We are also the chosen people. When you are chosen in God, we are elected by God. We are believers of God. Inevitably, there will be attack. There will be attack to us. There will be attack, either internal attack or external attack. So the Amalekites came to invade and try to attack the Israelites. In fact, they start by going to the camp. And then, you know, see, when they lay out the camp, their camp, they belong to the soldiers, they also the camp, that the young people, weak people, women, are in that area. And Amalekites were very clever. They tried to attack from the weekend. They came in. And Satan, as us, as people of God, he would not take the active opportunity to attack us, starting from our weak point. So the first point I would like to raise is that, as Christians, get ready. There will be attack. I lose control again. Okay. The spiritual warfare. Satan attacks the children of God, either internally or externally. There are basically two battles in our life. One is internal battle. The battle is that Satan will use our desires to tempt us so that we'll fall into sin and be separate from God, separate and be away from God. This is internal battle. He also sometimes launch external battle, try to use persecution or other things, sickness, family problems, other things, and attack us externally. So facing this kind of battle, what should we do? In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, it says the following. Could I ask the brothers to read that? Brothers, go ahead. The Spirit of God encourages us to be not timid, to brave and face the attack. Some people like to avoid the attack. They try to run away the attack. But in fact, the reason the attacking can come is that the Lord allows that to happen to you. So instead of avoiding it, running away, face it head on. Do not be timid. Paul encouraged Timothy, because I give you power, love and self-discipline. So depending on the power of God, we should be able to face the attack. I can find it as we are very sincerely working for the Lord. Attack is sometimes inevitable. Let me share a testimony with you. As a pastor here, I go to different churches to speak, mainly Chinese churches in America and also different parts of the world. This is one of the churches I help in North Dakota. In North Dakota, there's one university up there. You know, North Dakota in Fargo and Fangfors is very cold in winter. And it's very long time. We talk about super cold. So cold that when you go out and you stay for several minutes, if you do not take care, your nose can come down. It's very serious. You have to protect yourself. And this couple, the one that I circle, they are professors in their school. They have been faithfully serving in their student fellowship. There are not many Chinese students, but they are faithful since that God gave them position as professor, and they are Christians on that campus. They have been faithfully serving on this campus. And I help this group, and also have another group in the same, another city. So they are faithful couple. And last year he mentioned to me, when I saw them, they said, "It's wonderful, Dr. Kwok, we have been using your discipleship materials. Now the church is growing steadily." I was very happy that the materials are helping them. In fact, they also shared with me that All along, they would like to get out of North Dakota because it was too cold. So they try to work hard, publish, have good teaching record, and do good research record in order to get out from North Dakota. And they were successful. In fact, one school offered to both of them offers better in terms of salary and positions. So they get a chance to get out of the cold. But they find out that if they leave, there seems to be no successor who could help the fellowship. So praise the Lord, they make a bold decision. They said, we do not accept the offer. And they decide to stay. That's wonderful. And at this moment, they find that the church starts growing. And then I heard the news. Their husband got brain cancer. And this month, please pray for him. His name is Hanyi. He's going through all cancer therapy for 1 whole month. As I heard, this is a very serious cancer. The chance of survival is very small. And so far, he doesn't know that. His wife tried to hide it from him. Hope that probably his spirit, he had better chance of survival. You can see that when you work faithfully toward God, faithfully for God, sometimes attacks are inevitable. Attack. Facing this attack, what can we do? Facing spiritual warfare especially, the most important part, as all we know, is we all know, is prayer, the power of prayer. But through this passage, I can see that there's 3 important points. We can say how we launch prayer to face our warfare. The first is action and prayer. The second one is incessant prayer. And the third one is supportive prayer. So let's read this passage one by one. First point of prayer is chapter 17, 9 to 10. Could I ask brothers and sisters to read together? Moses. From these 2 words, I can see the importance of prayer. Number 1, actions and prayer should be kept in balance. I can see here, for example, Moses asked Joshua, and this is the first time Joshua's name was mentioned. Moses mentioned, go and fight, while we will go up to the hill and pray for you. We'll go to the top of the hill and pray for you. And you can see that there are 2 things going on at the same time. There's a 2-pronged approach at the same time. One is action. You need to go and fight. The other is what? We need to support your prayer. Again, see, Christians sometimes easily fall into extremes. Some Christians say that, oh, we just pray. Some Christians say that, okay, let's just do something. Sometimes we attempt to go to the extreme or to the side. I think as Christians facing warfare, it's important to keep balance. You try your best. At the same time, don't forget about the power of prayer. When I went to mainland China, sometimes I find that, although there are some Christians there, you know that in China, people like to use back door. Under the table, they try to bribe, they try to give gifts, in order to get their way done. For example, you wait in long line for an application to be approved. To speed up the application, what do? You give gifts. Good name is gift, actually is bribe. Okay. And this is a usual way of how Chinese deal with things. If you want to expedite the process, give some gifts. And I can see that even in church, some of the Christians, will they pray when there's something special they need? They pray. But after prayer, what do? They rush and do the same way. Giving gifts. Sometimes as Christians, we forget that we're Christians. We pray a little bit, but we take all the things in our own hands. And sometimes even things that Christians should not do. Go to the extreme. Just rely on yourself. And this is not the way. Joshua fights, but Moses said, we need to pray. The second point I would like to raise is that sometimes Christians go to the other extreme. Moses did not say that, okay, let's kneel down and pray, and the angels will come and save us. Moses said, Joshua, you go, and we pray together. I find that some brothers and sisters, after coming to Christ, they go to the other extreme. Everything they pray, and they usually just sit there and wait. They don't take their own actions. They put all the buck back to God. God, I'm in your control now. All I wait for you. And they did not do their own thing. God doesn't want this kind of children. They want you to try with Him together, instead of just waiting there. I can see, because I deal with students a lot. Some are student Christians. After coming to Christ, they said, I like to study the Bible. I like to do devotion. I like to serve. But when they go back to schoolwork, they don't like it. They avoid it. So they spend a lot of time in doing spiritual things, studying the Bible. But they forget that there's an important mission for them to live out the witness as a student. God wants us to have a balanced approach. Action and prayer is important. So when you face a warfare, remember, don't just stress one thing at the expense of the other. You have to take your efforts, try the means you can within your hands, and try it. At the same time, you have to pray earnestly. Together. And through that process, you'll grow in Him. The whole idea of this battle is for God to train you. Train you to rely on Him, and train you to struggle with Him, so that you be transformed more and more like Him. So this is the first item from this passage I learned. Action and prayer. The second item, I call incessant prayer. Could I ask brothers and sisters to read together? 17:11. Let's go. As Moses and went up to the hill and start praying. It's interesting, there's something, this verse I like it a lot, 17:11. Whenever Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were what? Winning. But whenever he lowers his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Interestingly, Moses is a spiritual giant, right? We agree that Moses is a spiritual giant. Even he, when he lowers his hands, his prayer becomes not so effective. Even him, as a spiritual giant facing this situation, if he did not try hard, when his hands went down, it becomes less effective. And Israel was losing the war, losing the battle. So remind us, we are not spiritual giants, right? Not yet, that is. We are not as spiritual as strong as Moses. So it's very important, brothers, don't give up your prayer. Sometimes you pray for something very important, but for a long time, it seems that God doesn't listen to a prayer. And then what? You give up. You put aside and do your own things. You take things in your own control. Don't give up. Just like Moses, he himself has to raise the hands in order to get the prayer effectively heard. We also need to do things. Don't give up. And sometimes prayer comes for a long time. But don't give up. Let me share another passage I like a lot. This is this is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It urges us to pray continually. Don't give up. Keep praying. And the other one, I think, it also gives us some clue why incessant prayer is very important. Don't stop. Keep praying. Daniel 10:12-13. Let's read together. Then he continued. You know, Daniel was also a spiritual giant. You can see that his prayer took a long time before he see the angel. Long time. And notice this passage, it's very interesting. It says the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day, after the first day, his prayer has already been heard. The angel was coming to him and tried to tell him the secret of what's going to happen. He's praying for God's revelation of what's going to happen. So in the first day, on the first day, the prayer has been heard already. And the angel was coming. But what happened? In a way, what happened? The prince of Persian kingdom, Satan, intercept for 21 days. And you know, Daniel was fasting. It takes a long time. No food to eat. 21 days. And what happened? He kept praying. Then another angel, Michael, came. One of the chief angels came to help me so that I come here. So brothers and sisters, next time when you're facing an attack, or maybe you're not facing an attack, don't give up. You have to keep praying. It's not easy. Even Moses, whenever he stands down, it becomes less effective. You have to keep lifting up your hands. In July, our whole family was in Hong Kong. And one day, on one Sunday, we went to worship. And we listened to a message by a local pastor. It's very interesting. He shared about his story about how his father came to Christ. His father, he has been called by God to serve as a pastor for a long time. But his father was very resistant. He did a lot of good things. The son did a lot of good things for the law, in the world, the kingdom for the law, for the kingdom of God. But whenever he tried to share the gospel with his own father, the one he loved so much, his father was very resistant. Don't talk to me. I don't like this kind of thing. For many years, but he kept praying. He kept praying because he loved his father. This is very tough. I think you know, it hurts, right? Some people you love a lot, but you keep praying. It seems that it's getting nowhere. It gets very frustrating to him sometimes. But he did not give up. He kept praying. And then his father got a very serious illness. And his father was dying. And the son was so urgent now, feel the urgency that if my father did not receive Christ before his death, he'll go to hell. So he kept praying more. Now he keep praying, he has action. Whenever he was invited out to preach, he shared with the congregation, pray for me, pray for my father, because my father is dying. He has not received Christ yet. Hopefully someone can help bring him to Christ. And one church, after he shared the message, after the service, one lady, it's actually a female minister, came to see him. Oh, I heard you're sharing your need. I will go to share the gospel with your father. And this pastor looked at her, very short, not very bright. Although he said, okay, but he actually doubted whether this female minister could help. And surely the female minister, the sister came to his house and talked and shared the gospel with his father. And then the pastor found out that actually the female minister are not very eloquent. In fact, he said, I am a better preacher than you. He gets speaking in your own house. He said, the female minister did not know how to express the gospel well. And he's thinking, thought about it, he's thinking, okay, it's a good trial. We try. So, after the conversation, his father did not seem to move, have any touch. And the female minister was leaving. As she approached the door, and suddenly, interesting, she turned around and looked at his father. Mister, you need to pray for me, with me. Pointing at him, Mister, pray with me. His father gets shocked. This is only a stranger, it's a guest, and suddenly it challenged him, pray with me. And interestingly, father said, yeah, I'll pray with you. So the father prayed with the female minister, prayed to receive Christ. And then she left. And the pastor said, is it real? Or just a show to get her away? But he didn't pray. Later he observed it. In fact, his father changed. For real. After that prayer. And he died. long years of prayer finally to pay off. It's important to keep praying, brothers and sisters. The third point I want to raise is supportive prayer. Because when you raise your hand, just like Moses, when you raise hands too long, you must get tired, right? Let's read together, 12 and 13. Let's go. When Moses... It was a long battle, raising hands for a long time. We're human, right? At one time, we're very tired. And luckily, Moses and her, his two friends were beside him. And what did they do? They put a stone and then put his hand under him and he sat on it and keep propping him up. And then he keep raising his hands and the battle was won. So from this point, I think that's a very important part too. Supportive prayer. Brothers and sisters, when you get tired, it's alright to share your need with someone you trust. You may not advertise it, but talk to some of the friends you trust so that they can support you in prayer. By doing that, we can encourage others. In this process, through support, prayer support, actually our relationship gets closer to each other. I help you, you help me, supporting each other. Prayer support. Let me share with you another church I help. This is the Greenfield Church. I go to preach about once a month. And the one, the circle here, this is a couple. They also serve very, very much for the Lord in the church. And I think early this year, they gave birth to a baby. It was a premature birth. So when the baby came out, it's about just 2 pounds, 2 or 3 pounds. And the baby could not be taken home. It must stay in the hospital. And the parents are very concerned whether the baby could survive or not. And then the whole church, the Greenville Church, pray for them. And last month, when they went back in Greenville, hooray! The baby was growing very healthy now. And growing weight. Very normal. And through this process, the relationship among brothers and sisters, because they have the same common point, they support each other, the relationship gets closer to each other. I think it's wonderful. So from this passage, I can find that there are 3 major points. When you're faced with spiritual warfare, when you pray, remember, when you pray, we also need to take action. When you pray, keep praying. Don't stop, keep praying. And the 3rd point, get other people to support you. Pray with you. So we support each other and our fellowship, our church will be closer to each other, facing the same enemy together. I help you out, you help me out. And as a result, a big battle was won. And then what happened after that warfare? The Lord is my banner. Let's look at the first, final 3 verses. Let's read together. Then the Lord... You know what, I like this passage. You know that after winning the war, people may be very happy, right? Just like we won the football game yesterday. We're all very happy. But the passage does not focus on that. Instead, it focuses on what? Moses built an altar and said, "The Lord is my banner." And then the Lord revealed to Moses, you know, this is not the end of the story yet. The Amalekites will come, keep attacking you. But I assure you, and one day they will be wiped out of the entire earth. You know what? After that, Gideon fought Amalekites. And then later on, according to 2 Samuel, King Saul was killed by an Amalekite. And then afterwards, David fought the Amalekites. nearly killed them all. And then the final point is King Hezekiah eliminated them all. It's a long, long battle, long, long warfare. But as God promised, this tribe will be blot out from under heaven. But my focus is on the altar. When they won the war, they built an altar. When I go out to lead evangelistic meetings, when I lead people to Christ, instead of just celebration, the first thing I usually like to do is go back to my room and kneel down. Or if the room is not available, I go to the bathroom. I kneel down there and I lift my hands and say, Lord, thank you. Today people are safe. Thank you for saving people. So after this wonderful victory, the first major victory of the Israelites, Moses built an altar and gave all the praise to the Lord, because the Lord is my banner. He says, it's the Lord who leads us into this battle. It's the Lord who gives us strength in fighting this battle. It's the Lord who helps us benefit them from this battle and win the war. We are more like Him. The Lord is always our banner. The Lord is my banner. So as Christians, to close, it's inevitable we are facing daily battle, daily warfare. Either the battle is from inside or from outside. Remember, God is always beside us. In fact, God allows us to go through this process. And in this process, if we leave our action to Him, work together with Him, then we'll be more like Him. Because He's always our banner. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for helping us, especially this 9/11 occasion. They remind us that warfare is always with us. Help us that always we know how to rely on you through prayer and action. And then in this process, we'll grow more like you. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.